Good morning and welcome to all of you. We will be having communion this morning, so we practice as a matter of integrity and discipline. We do practice closed communion, so if guests would like to see a fuller statement of that, you can see that on pages 15 to 16 of the bulletin. Also, with communion, in case you forgot a plate, we do have extras that we'll have on our cart this morning. All right, we'll begin with our opening hymn, Holy Spirit, Light Divine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us.
Forgive us, renew us, and lead us,
so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place.
What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him?
Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor.
Glory be to the Father,
and the Son,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory." The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of the one who called, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe to me! I am ruined, because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, carrying a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "See, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how untraceable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his advisor, or who has first given to God that he will be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these miraculous signs you are doing unless God is with him. Jesus replied, Amen, amen, I tell you. Unless someone is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised when I tell you that you must be born from above. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Asked Nicodemus. You are the teacher of Israel, Jesus answered, and you do not know these things? Amen, amen, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify about what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Our chief hymn is 498, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A creed is a statement of belief. The Christian Church has three creeds: the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. And all three of them describe what Christians believe. All three of them describe the God in whom Christians believe. The shortest and simplest and oldest is the Apostles' Creed. This is the creed that we've been speaking on non-communion Sundays. It is also the creed that is in our catechism. The other creed that we are quite familiar with is the Nicene Creed. We speak this creed normally on communion Sundays. It is quite similar to the Apostles' Creed, but it goes into more detail about who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is. One of the earliest controversies that arose after the death of the apostles is how Jesus Christ is to be seen. There were some who thought that he wasn't as fully God as God the Father. Some said that he was created and not eternal. The Nicene Creed is responding to these errors when it says of Jesus that he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in time, according to his human nature, but he is eternally begotten and true God, according to his divine nature. This takes us to the third creed, which we will speak later today, as we normally do on Trinity Sunday. It is the longest and least familiar to us. From the way that the creed speaks, if you remember it, it's so emphatic, you can tell that there are two mysteries that are firmly being established in this creed that we ought to believe in. There continues to be the concern that we've already mentioned, that Jesus Christ is true man, born of the Virgin Mary, and also true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. This is taken up in the second part of the Athanasian Creed. The other mystery is in the first part of the Creed. It has to do with the triune nature of God. The words triune and Trinity are not in the Bible. They were words that were made up by Christians to describe something that is in the Bible, and that is two facts about our God. The first part of the word is tri, as in triangle. A triangle has three angles or three sides. The word tri means three. The Bible speaks clearly of there being three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second part of Trinity or triune is un, as in uno, or one. The Bible speaks of God as singular and as the only God, not three gods, but one God. God says, "Behold, the Lord your God is one." Therefore, the words triune or Trinity are like shorthand for these two facts that are laid out in the Bible. The Bible speaks of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks of there being only one, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. We naturally have difficulties with these mysteries that are presented to us in the Scriptures, because one of the ways that our brain especially is fond of operating is by relating whatever it is that we're talking about to something else that is already known. We like to put stuff into categories that way. We know this and we know this, and we can add that to a category, or we compare and we contrast something that we're thinking about to other things that are already known. Unfortunately, this is something that we cannot do, either with God or with Jesus Christ being true God and true man at the same time. And the reason why we can't do that, we can't categorize or compare and contrast, is because these are unique things. There's only one of them. Unique is from that word uno that we've already spoken of. There's only one Trinity, and there is no one who is like Jesus Christ, who is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. And so we can't compare and contrast these things, and that makes our intellect have a hard time. Our intellect wants to be able to categorize and to understand. And so it has been the case that there have been a great many people who have tried to figure out these mysteries over the history of the Christian Church. The reason why we have the careful and clarifying language that we do in both the Nicene and the Athanasian creeds is only so that what the Bible says is believed. Nothing more and nothing less. As the Athanasian Creed says, the Catholic faith, which is another way of saying Christian faith with that lowercase c instead of a capital C, the Catholic faith is to worship the one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. That is to say that we believe that God is one. At the same time, we believe what the Bible reveals about this one God, that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It would be wrong to say, though, that the main thing about God is that we have to accept this puzzle of him being three in one and one in three. The reason why we affirm this is not because we like puzzles, either having puzzles or solving puzzles. We say what we do about God because that's how he's revealed himself to be. But you won't find anywhere in the scriptures where the concept of the Trinity is dwelt upon in and of itself so as to make sure that everybody has it straight, as though that were the main thing, to get it straight. Rather, what the Bible reveals about our God with much more emphasis is the way that he's made himself known to us in time. God making himself known to us creatures by his words and his deeds, this is the real substance of our faith, and that's what the Bible talks about. God made himself known to the Israelites in the Old Testament. There's a great deal we could say about that. After all, the whole Old Testament is about that. However, it is a foreshadowing and a prophecy of what was to come. God ultimately reveals himself and his intentions in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is why the creeds spend more time talking about Jesus on the second article than they do on either the first or the third. For us and for our salvation, God sent his Son to be born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered and died under Pontius Pilate, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. The fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' words and actions, you are able to know what God's will is toward you and toward this whole world that is otherwise damned for death and for hell because of their sins. In our gospel reading today, we have such a clear statement to that effect, and that's why it's been known as the most important verse in the Bible. For God loved the world in this way, Jesus said, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In Jesus, who suffers and dies, you are shown God's heart, his will, his desire for every man, woman, and child. His desire is that we should be set free from the devil, that we should be born again as his children through baptism, and live together with him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. God sends his Holy Spirit together with that gospel, so that when and where it pleases the Holy Spirit, those who hear the gospel believe in Jesus and therefore do not perish, but have eternal life. Amazingly, God has bound himself up together with us for our salvation. That's what happened when the Son became true man. God himself, the ruler of the universe, bound himself up with this human race. It's amazing that God should do this. For who or what are we? We seemingly are very insignificant, but evidently we are not. For God has loved us and saved us. This is the God in whom we believe. This is the God whom we confess in our three ecumenical creeds. I'm going to let that suffice for our teaching on the Trinity today. I'd like to take a moment, though, for us to reflect on the sacrament of the altar. For some of you, it has been a long time since you have been able to receive the sacrament, and so it's good for us to consider what is taking place. The Lord's Supper was instituted by Christ himself. He said that this bread is his body and that this wine is his blood. Therefore, this is indeed the case. His true body and true blood are under the bread and the wine for his Christians to eat and to drink. Jesus tells us why we do this in his words of institution. He says that his body and blood are given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. We are poor and helpless and miserable sinners who can do nothing of ourselves, but Jesus offered his body and his blood as the great atoning sacrifice for all sinners on the cross. All sins are atoned for. All sins are forgiven in Jesus' cross. Jesus gives you this body and blood to eat and to drink in the sacrament so that you may know that fact, that your salvation has been accomplished in Jesus' cross, that you may believe it, and through faith in Jesus be saved. In summary, I'd like to refer to the Christian questions and answers that are a part of our catechism. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so it is asked in these Christian questions and answers, why should we remember and proclaim Jesus' death? Answer: first, so that we may learn to believe that no creature could make satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, we remember and proclaim Jesus' death in the sacrament so that we may learn to be horrified by our sins and regard them as very serious. And third, we remember and proclaim his death in the sacrament so that we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone and through faith in him be saved. God bless your reception of the Lord's Supper today, and may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We'll confess our faith responsively using the words of the Athanasian Creed as they're printed in your bulletin. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such as the Son, and such as the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made, nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created, nor begotten, but preceding.
Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
For our prayer of the Church today, we'll use the litany. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness and their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ.
Hear us.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
Amen. We'll continue with the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper,
And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith, who was made flesh and suffered death. All them who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone. God would not have the sin Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives our sins which you Jesus' blood, your baptism is the highest good. If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul. That is the firmest ground of faith.
say you're of our race, and the babe the world's redeemed, first revealed his sacred face, evermore and evermore. This is he whom seers in old times chanted of with shines the long expected. Let creation praise its Lord evermore and evermore. O ye heights, we cannot know him. Angel host, his royals ascend. His dominions bow before told to our King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Rise to thee with God the Father, thanksgiving and unending praises be. Honor, glory, and dominion and eternal victory evermore and evermore.
So deep.
so high, so low. The Trinity, whom we adore, forever, forever.
Salvation is to me safe and sure eternal.
pleasure I will share. Nay, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in thee and nothing shake. Thou art the portion I have sought, thy precious blood my soul has bought.
And now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
We'll continue with the Nunc Dimittis on page 2, on page 22. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. A closing hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Make a couple of announcements here. So the leadership of both congregations discussed plans going forward this past week, and the decision that was reached was that both congregations would return to their sanctuaries at the regular time next week. So Peace and Old Wine will be having their service at 8:30, and Our Redeemer and Independence will be having their service at 10:30. The one thing I'd like to add to that is, as far as the radio transmitter is concerned, we will turn on the radio transmitter for that 8:30 service here at Peace and Old Wine. So if you have concerns about COVID-19 and would rather not be in a building right now, that is an option for you to come at 8:30 and listen from your cars like you have been these past several weeks. We will be distributing bulletins, but we won't have anybody at the end of the parking lot there. If you'd like to come to that drive-in service, just pull up to the front and we'll give you a bulletin for the service this next week. There will be a lot more details that I'm going to send out in an email. So after church here, I'm going to send that email out and you can look to that to find out more information about the precautions that we're taking and so on and so forth. This first service that we'll have back in the sanctuary this next week will be a matins service. We'll plan on having communion the week after that, so the 21st of June would be the first communion service in the sanctuaries. Since this is the last service that we'll be having in the parking lot, I forget to do this all the time because you know me with announcements. I want to thank all the people who have helped out in order to make this work. Kathy Heck has, I don't think you realize how difficult it's been for her to play the organ in this kind of strange setting, and I think she's done an incredible job these past several weeks. I also want to thank Bob Jensen and Joel Dinger for helping out with the congregational responses. Okay, I need to look at this quick to make sure. Okay, if I don't write it down, I'm not going to say it. So I think I got everything that I wanted to say for announcements, and look for that email. And God's blessings, and look forward to seeing you in the sanctuary next week.